We live in a world of a lot of acronyms, and so I wrote on the board OBO. Everybody know what that means? Brother David does. You ever bought anything from a newspaper ad or some kind of sale bill or marketplace or something like that? What comes to your mind immediately when you see OBO in the advertisement? Well, first off, what does OBO stand for? Or best offer. So when you see that in an ad, it might be for a dining room table, and might be for a lawnmower, might be for a cow. What do you immediately think of when you see OBO? Because some people don't put OBO, they put the word firm. So what's the difference there? Okay, all right. The one that says firm is not willing to negotiate at all, right? And the one that says OBO is willing to negotiate. You don't know how much, but they've thrown their advertisement out there and they'd like for you to pay them whatever. But they're willing to consider something a little bit less. And if you show up and you have cash money in your pocket and say, oh, well, I'll pay you something less, and here's the money. It's right here in my pocket. They might negotiate. Or they might negotiate about they might deliver it for you, or they might negotiate on something else. But they're willing to negotiate if it says, or best offer. Sometimes I believe the devil tries to present the world to us like Dr. Seuss' book, Green Eggs and Ham. Would you eat green eggs and ham? Would you like it here or there? Would you eat it in the house? Would you eat it with a mouse? Would you eat it in a box? Would you eat it in a with a fox? Just trying to make an appeal. Were you willing to negotiate? And many times I feel like the enemy comes along and said, would you be willing to discount your life for this? Would you be willing to discount your walk with the Lord? Or would you be willing to pick up this or pick up that from the world? Would you do it for this? Would you do it for that? Would you do it for the approval of the people? Would you do it to keep from suffering what you feel like would be persecution? Would you do it to keep from having criticism pointed at you, accusations? What's your best offer? You know, the devil will try to make a deal with you. The devil will try to cause us to be willing to eat green eggs and ham. And I don't know about you, but the color green on ham and for eggs would be a real difficult thing for me to literally swallow. It'd be hard because eggs aren't supposed to be green. And ham's not supposed to be green, in my mind. So I'd like to turn this morning to the book of Genesis. I'd like to read some examples, not all from the book of Genesis, but let's go to Genesis, the 39th chapter, and I want us to look at an example here of someone that was unwilling to negotiate. 39, beginning in verse 8, it says, well, the story is Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? Joseph had been sold into slavery, bought by a man named Potiphar, and been put in charge of his house. And Joseph had managed the household and all of Potiphar's affairs to such that he was under Joseph's management. Potiphar was becoming wealthy, more wealthy than he had been before Joseph. The after Joseph and before Joseph, there was a significant difference in Potiphar's financial standing. So he'd been doing well, and Potiphar had put him in charge of everything, running the house, running his business affairs, managing his other servants. It was all under Joseph's control. And Potiphar was free to do whatever the owner of all of it wanted to do. And Potiphar wasn't the only one that noticed how blessed he was because of Joseph. But you know, successful people become attractive to other people. And successful people, many times, women become attracted to them. I don't mean that as a slam. I'm just telling you that's what happens. The world, there's statistics that prove that. Old men's got money, marry young women out there in the world. It says in verse 8, let's start in verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. He refused and said, I'm not interested. Your husband, my master, has put everything in charge to me. I'm the one that's taking control of all of it. He said, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He wasn't thinking about his obligations to Potiphar, although that was a factor. He says, I am obligated to follow the commandments of the God. This is before the Ten Commandments, right? But he had a relationship and a communication with God, and he said, I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, would you do it here or there? In the house with a mouse, in a fox, or in a box with a fox? You see, she was trying to negotiate. And as she came to pass, she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. Joseph was unwilling to negotiate. And I'm thankful for that. I want us to live a life where our experience with God is non-negotiable. Where our relationship with the Lord is non-negotiable. Where our integrity before the Lord is non-negotiable. Where my willingness to be an example of the believers in word, in deed, in my outward appearance, whatever it might be, is non-negotiable. I don't want to be in a place where if something like Potiphar's wife is trying to negotiate with me, that I end up making a deal, because the devil wants to make a deal. You know, you would take, people wouldn't look at you with those kind of questioning expressions if you would only do this. You could advance in this part of your life if you would adopt that. If you wouldn't be such a hardliner on this or that point, think of what you could get out of that. That's how the enemy wants to come and negotiate with us. I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, and read about somebody else that had a high level of responsibility with the Lord. And David here is a man that's on the run. And he is running from Saul that's pursuing him. If Saul caught him, we know that Saul's intent was to take his life. And Saul was tired from chasing David, and he decided to take a rest, and he went into a cave, and when he did, David and his men were in there already. And Saul went in and, I guess, laid down. It says he covered his feet. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Begins in verse 1 and goes through about verse 10, but we're not going to read it all. We just know that during the course of this, while David's men said in verse 4, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day which the Lord saith unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Boy, that was a pivotal moment, wasn't it? Saul was laying down to sleep. David's men were saying, "David, today's the day. There's Saul. He's asleep. You can take him out. Your troubles will be gone. There would be no one would criticize you for taking advantage of this opportunity." No one would have. Today, if he had taken advantage of that opportunity, it'd be hard-pressed for us to think that the Lord wasn't working for him. And the devil was trying to tell him, through his men, it's time to do it. It's time to get Saul rubbed out. And David got up, he made a decision, and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." David didn't take his life, didn't put a mark on him, didn't tie him up, didn't conk him on the head and knock him out for a few minutes, didn't do any of that. He just cut off a little bit of his garment. And I don't know how much he cut off. It says here he cut his skirt off. I'm not sure what that was. He cut off a little bit of the bottom part, like he could have got it caught on a bush or a stick or something and tore some of it. And Saul got up. I think Saul got up and gathered up his things and went out of the cave and didn't even realize it happened. That's been my perception. Because it wasn't like he was in a turmoil when he got up. He just went about his day. But David realized that he had made too much of a deal with temptation. You know, there's times in our lives that we may realize that we didn't do something grossly wrong. But I began to taste the green eggs and ham. I began to consider the offers, the best offer. I began to consider negotiating with the situation. You know, there's things about Anita and I's marriage that we don't ever bring to the negotiating table. We may negotiate about temporal things and bring things to the table, her ideas. She presented something to me today on the way to service, and I haven't given her an answer because I'm still thinking about it. All right? But there's something we don't negotiate about, and that is when if we get miffed at one another, we don't ever say, I might just divorce you. We don't do that. We don't bring it to the table. It's a non-negotiable thing. We're committed to this. We've been in it 40 years now, and I don't intend to ever consider that to be a negotiable concept. So there, David had recognized that God had anointed Saul to be king, and he respected that and he accepted that. But yet when his men were pushing and prodding on him, and you're going to feel pushed and prodded on by other people. What do you always do this? Why don't you do that? Why can't you do here? I don't understand. It seems foolish. It seems that place you go to church, you can hear all kinds of levers and pressures and feel that. Well, where in the Bible does it say you can't do this? That's all pressures and negotiating tactics. And the enemy sometimes will get us to make a little bit of a compromise. We'll take an offer. We didn't think we was negotiating, but we look back on David probably didn't think he was negotiating, but he looked back after he did it and he said, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, have mercy on me. I touched the Lord's anointed. I didn't make him bleed. I didn't put a bruise on him, but I cut off some of his garment. It was such a peripheral thing. There are so many peripheral things in a Christian's life that the devil wants to negotiate with us on and tell us this is not necessary, that's not necessary. You don't have to be careful about this. You don't have to worry about that. And he would like to whittle us down and make a deal with us where we begin to compromise our walk with the Lord. You know, if he would have felt justified in cutting off his garment, he might have felt justified in turning the tables on Saul in another manner later on. I'd like to go to Job, the 13th chapter of Job. We know the story of Job. I'm not going to try to reiterate all of that. 13th chapter of Job, we find Job in a place. That none of us want to be in. And there were those that were bringing accusations, and they felt like they was justified in bringing the accusations to Job. But notice Job 13 and 13. He said, hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody began to tell you because you were so conscientious or being so careful that it was going to bring a negative result? And Job said, hold your peace. Let me alone. Let me speak that I may speak, and let come on me what will. I'm not willing to negotiate. I'm not willing to compromise my position. We know Job was that way. That's Job's reputation. He was unwilling to compromise his position and his integrity with the Lord. He wasn't willing to charge God foolishly. He wasn't willing to curse him. He wasn't willing to blame him. And yet, he had all of that presented to him. The next verse says, wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? What does that mean? I'm taking my very existence consciously into account here. I'm not willing to... I'm not doing this without being aware. Job was very cognizant. He was very much aware of the position he was taking. Job was going to take the risk of taking a stand that opposed a man. He would rather oppose the men than oppose God. You know, many times we're afraid of somebody's face. Many times we're afraid of what other people will think or what other people will do. And we begin to consider the best offers. This is what I want to do. I want to be faithful. I want to live a careful life. Help us, Lord, to not put OBO after that or best offer. What would be the best offer besides really having a walk with the Lord? What's the best offer? Have one, a life that looks like it's following the Lord? Or have a life that you say that your heart's right and yet you're willing to do things or say things or incorporate things that was the best offer? Recently, Brother Rob had left a pickup at my house, and I was trying to get it sold for him, and so a couple Saturdays ago, I had a young man that wanted to come look at it, and I wanted him to come look at it, and while he was there, somebody offered me, I had not put OBO in the advertisement at all, but somebody was trying, and they offered me $2,000 less than what I was asking for it. And I just typed back, no. And then they raised their price $1,000. And I said, I just responded back to them, this is what my listing price, this is what it's got to be. If you can't give my listing price, I'm out. I wasn't going to negotiate. I already had another fish on the line, and I wasn't going to negotiate with him. He hadn't even looked at it. And he was offering me a price, and he hadn't even seen the truck. You know, the enemy wants to come along, and he wants us to negotiate, and there's nobody said nothing. It's all in our head. I'm worried about what somebody will say or what somebody will do or how somebody's going to look at me. And we got all this going on in our head, And really, we just need to say, no, I'm not negotiating. And Job here, he said, I'll take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in mine hand. I'm going to take full responsibility. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own way before him. I will not deviate from the path I've been on for a long time. I will not deviate from the direction that I started out going. I believe this to be right when I started on it, and there's nothing changed. I don't want to back up. I don't want to turn. He said, though he slay me, though circumstances seem to stack up against me, right is the pathway that leadeth to this. I know I started out right, so I must still be on the right path. Lord, help us to have the courage to not negotiate. There was an old radio program years ago. A man was an Italian, and the story is that he had a souvenir shop or antique shop, and he had a statue of George Washington. And somebody come in and wanted to buy George Washington. And his expression was, not a for sale. It's not for sale. It ought to have been for sale. He needed a sale to be able to pay his rent. And he could have sold the statue for a considerable amount. But he was unwilling to sell it. Not because he was so much a connoisseur of art, and not because he could afford to keep it, but he couldn't bring himself to sell something that represented the freedom he had in the United States of America. He says, George Washington, I can't sell him. Not a for sale. When the enemy comes and wants to make a best offer to us, look, you can still be a Christian. There are a lot of Christians out there, and they can do whatever it is. And he wants to negotiate with us. I want to challenge us today to tell the devil, not a for sale. I'm not negotiating. I'm not willing to consider what you have to offer. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I know I started out right, and I'm going to keep on going down that path. You remember what Joshua said? But it's for me and my house, Joshua 24 and 15, the last part of the verse. But it's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Today's Father's Day. Fathers, I want us to have the courage to set a precedence. For me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm not going to turn to the left. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. I'm not in the business of negotiating my spiritual integrity with the enemy. I'm not willing to take his best offer, no matter how good it is. Have you ever had somebody come and want you to sell something to them, and they pull out a wad of cash and maybe waggle it in front of your face? You probably had that, hadn't you? I'll take this away. I'll take this off your hands. Look how much money I got here for you. The devil wants to come along and say, look, you can still have the respect of your co-workers as a Christian if you'll only negotiate a little bit. You can't have a deal without negotiating. That's what the devil will tell you. Well, I'm here to tell you I'm not in the business of wanting to deal with the devil. There is somebody I want to deal with, and that's the Lord. And I want to be willing to sell out and get the real thing. You can go down here to Harbor Freight, and you can buy some tools that look like expensive tools. And they work just respectably well. But are you satisfied with that? And there's a time and a place for that. Don't be criticized. I've got some of them too. But it's not the real deal. It's not. I want the real deal. Because the best I can tell, there's not the real heaven and then a Harbor Freight heaven. It's not. It's either heaven or that other place that I don't want to go. I want to miss it. And not just by a hair's breadth. I want to miss it by a country mile. I want to be so far away from that broad gate that there is no question. I don't want to be walking along beside the Broadway. Somewheres you leave the Broadway and you're getting the straight and the narrow way. And the last thing I want to do is be walking just next to the fence line on the Broadway. I don't want to negotiate with the devil. I don't want to give up the things that make my experience real with the Lord. Joshua said, "For me and my house will serve the Lord." Fathers, would you consider negotiating today? Or would you be strong? Quit ye like men. I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 16th chapter. And I would like to notice one verse in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs written by a man that accredited with being, or a lot of it is anyway, being the wisest man that ever lived. And yet, he didn't heed his own wisdom in so many things. 16th chapter of Proverbs, the 25th verse, says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a way that seems to be right. There's a way that seems like you're negotiating for the best. There's a way that seems like I might ought to consider this. It seems like sometimes that negotiating is the only sensible thing to do. But I don't want to negotiate away my integrity with the Lord. I don't want to cut off a little piece of the skirt. I don't want to deviate in a manner that would cause me to jeopardize whether I'm going to make it in or not. Now, as a mechanic, there's things I won't let myself do that some of y'all might get by with. And I realize that. You might get by with something. I've done this job for a long time. And there's things I won't let myself do and put back together. If I can't have the right part, sorry, it's just going to sit here until I get the right part. I'm not going to make that chance. I'm not going to take that chance. I want to be like that in my spiritual walk. I'm not willing to negotiate. I'm not willing to deviate. I'm desperate to hear the Lord say, "Well done." Not, "Okay, I guess so. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. I've never been there. But I'm going to be there. There's going to be a time that I'm going to cross that threshold, and I'm either going to hear him say, "Well done," or "Depart from me. I never knew you." And I want to hear him say, "Well done. Well done. Come and enter in." I want him to say that to me. So I'm determined not to negotiate today. Proverbs 16 and 25 said, "There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's going to be a lot of offers presented to us to get us to compromise in the position we hold. Would you eat it in a box? Would you eat it with a fox? Not for sale, lady. It's not for sale. Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, "It's not for sale, lady. I'm not willing to make a deal." She probably said, "He'll never know. He's gone for 3 days. I know he won't be back." And Joseph said, "It's not for sale. My integrity is not for sale, period." And when she physically took a hold of him, he ran and got away. Not for sale. What part of that do you not understand? Well, she took that and used it against him. We know the rest of that story. Matthew, the 4th chapter. When we think about this, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was being tempted here, beginning in verse 3. We'll read down just a little bit. He says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" I'm not negotiating. "Then the devil taketh him up into a high city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto them, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.'" The devil was quoting a part of a scripture. The devil was twisting things. Did you know that every time, you know, there's even a place in the scripture that talks about the buyer saying, "It is not, it is not." And then he goes his way and boasteth. You remember that verse? The devil was saying, "Oh, the scripture says that if you jump off a cliff, the Lord's going to catch you and you're not going to hit the bottom very hard." Well, that's not what the scripture says. It says that he'll look over them and he'll care for them that trust in him. Well, if you're trusting the Lord for something, if you're trusting him to take care of you, don't, you know, if I'm trusting him to heal my finger, I don't stick my finger in the table saw just to see if he will. Duh. And Jesus said, "I'm not negotiating with you." The devil said, "Jump off here. He's promised to take care of you, and he won't let you hit your head. He won't let you hit your foot on the rocks. He won't let you die if you jump off." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, 'Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.'" I'm not negotiating. I'm not willing to take that chance. You're offering me some deal that I didn't even know I wanted. And many times that's what the devil does. He comes along and says, "You know, this would be good for you." And you didn't even know there was such a thing. But he's wanting to present something to you to trick you and to trap you. Lord, help us to be willing and able to resist the negotiating tactics of the enemy like Jesus did. like Joshua challenged the people to, like Job did. May the Lord help us to feel the moral responsibility that David did. Lord, I touched him. I didn't hurt him. I just touched him. Have mercy on me. Lord, help us all to not negotiate with the enemy. Let's go back to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Bear with us just a little bit more. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, some of my favorite verses. Read them many, many times. I would encourage you to read them over and over again. In chapter 4, verse 20, beginning, he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto thee, those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to not turn to the right. Not take a good offer going this way or a good offer going that way, but help me to keep it right down the middle. Remove thy foot from evil. Have an example of somebody that began to negotiate that I'd like for us to look at. And I'm flabbergasted that they were willing to negotiate. Let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest and said unto them, What will you give me?" Well, what would you take? You might have priced it, and they say, what would you take? He said, "What would you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Their best offer was 30 pieces of silver. I don't know all the terms and all the conditions, but they negotiated maybe back and forth a little bit, and they said, all right, 30 pieces of silver. We'll agree to that. 30 pieces of silver, and I'll betray him. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas, he wasn't just one of the multitude. He was one of the 12. Now, why would Judas consider negotiating for something like this? Now you say, well, he had a bad spirit. Did he? Had he always had a bad spirit? Did he have a bad spirit when Jesus chose him to become one of the 12? Did he? When did he start negotiating with the enemy? Because this is him negotiating with the chief priest, the Pharisees. And he said, all right, we got a deal. I'll betray him for 30 pieces of silver. We find him negotiating about something he shouldn't have never been in conversation about. I told you, Anita and I never negotiate about terms of divorce. We don't do that. We don't even use that word. We don't consider that. How did Judas get to the point that he would talk about this? Betraying Christ and the holiness of the gospel should never be on the negotiating table. We should never consider negotiating that. Now, Judas had been part of Jesus' disciples, inner circle. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. And I want to look at verse 1. It says, "And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease." Now the names of the 12. I want y'all to listen here and see if Judas was left out. The names of the 12. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Matthew wrote this after Jesus, sometime after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Judas Iscariot was in the 12 that Jesus had given them power to cast out unclean spirits, to preach the gospel to the world. And yet, Judas, somewhere between the 10th chapter of Matthew and this 26th chapter of Matthew, I know that's not just in the storyline, but somewhere in that time period, he began to start taking best offers. I don't know where it was. I don't know what it was going on in his head. We find a few little clues here and there about wishing they had sold the ointment for money and distribute it to the poor. There was some excuses given. I mean, I think we find a few little clues, but somewhere along the line, he began to negotiate his experience and his integrity and cut off some of the skirt. He began to make a deal here and there, just a little bit at a time, and ultimately, he was willing to negotiate a price for betraying Jesus himself. How could Judas do that when he had the first-hand experience of knowing the power of God and being able to take the message of the gospel to the world? How could he begin to negotiate? We've been talking recently in the congregation about spiritual growth and about having power with God. Why would we want to negotiate that away? Did you know that the enemy wants to come along and make a little deal with us here and make a little deal with us there? It looks the same or maybe has the same sound, but it's not the same. We all hear these things from time to time about manufacturers looking for ways to save money. And one of the ways they save money is increase their profit margins is they reduce quality and keep the price the same. You know, when I grew up, in a time when you went to Brahms and you bought a half a gallon of ice cream. You know what they did? Kept the price the same, and now you go get a carton of chocolate chip cookie dough at Brahms. You know how much is in that? 3 pints. You know how many pints are in a half a gallon? 4. So they cut the quantity by 25% And they put some extra flanges on the box so it looks about as big as it was before, but you got a pint less ice cream for the same money. Guess what happened? Every third container, you got an extra one to sell. That one's clear profit. That's a crude illustration. The fourth one was all profit. Increase the bottom line, the profit margin, by reducing the quality. You know what the enemy wants us to do? Still look like chocolate chip cookie dough, but only get 3 pints. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to negotiate something out of our life. It might be appearance, it might be attitudes. I don't know what it is, but he wants to negotiate something to where you start down the path, to where you get to the point you're willing to betray Christ. That's what Judas did. Judas lost his soul. And even when he went to hang himself, there was mercy being extended to him. Because Jesus is a merciful, loving Savior. And yet, the real question is, why would any of us today be willing to negotiate with the devil about living a Christian life? Why would we? Satan will give you a best offer. I'm asking us today, this morning, are we willing to consider our best offer? Or are we firm on our experience? I want us to be firm. I don't want us to make a deal with the devil. I don't want us to negotiate. I don't want us to back up. I don't want us to do anything that is less than living a careful, conscientious, to the best that I know how to live. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help me. Because the enemy is coming along on a daily basis. And he says, so just how much would it take to get you to change on this position? Just how much would it take? You ever had somebody come to your place and want to buy something that you didn't know you wanted to sell? I've had those situations. Hey, would you sell me your pickup? I had never thought about that. Well, I'd give you this much money for your truck. Would you sell that tractor? Would you rent that ground? Would you sell me that lawnmower? There'll be somebody that's going to present something to you someday. Are we willing to take a best offer? Are we going to say no? Not a for sale. Not in the business of negotiating. Not on my spiritual life. I want it to be just like I started out. You pray for me.